With my own children, I have needed to use this principle of paying the uttermost farthing. I have sometimes crossed over the sensitive line and disciplined out of an angry mood, and I knew I had wounded their feelings. My pride for a while has often kept me from paying the uttermost farthing, but eventually I knew I must swallow my pride and specifically admit how I had offended, then express my sorrow and seek forgiveness. What happens when a person pays the uttermost farthing? Assume to begin with that relationships are hurt and strained and that you are at least partly responsible. If you merely try to be better without confessing and asking forgiveness, the other person will still be suspicious. She has been hurt and wounded, and therefore her guard is up. She will be defensive and suspicious of your next new behavior, your kind face, wondering what might happen next. Your improved behavior and manner do not change her distrustful perception. Nothing you can do will change it, because you are behind bars and walls in a prison of her own making, inside her own mind. The bars and walls are the mental and emotional labels that she has put upon you, and that will give her some feeling of security in knowing not to expect much from you. You see, when we expect nothing, we're never disappointed. Only by a complete, full, and specific acknowledgement of your own failings will you pay the uttermost farthing. This same principle applies in seeking the Lord's forgiveness. We must hold nothing back, must hide nothing, and must surrender completely and totally to His will, His way, and His power. Giving away our sins. On another level of sacrifice, we must repent of all of our sins. As the father of King Lamoni said, O God, Aaron hath told me that there is a God, and if there is a God, and if thou art God, wilt thou make thyself known unto me? And I will give away all my sins to know thee. Close quote. When we repent, we give up our deeply ingrained habits and lifestyles that are in violation of God's commandments. The Savior said, By this ye shall know if a man repenteth of his sins. Behold, he will confess them and forsake them. But in reality, confessing and forsaking our sins are not repentance. They are the fruits of repentance. True repentance is much more than a change in behavior. It is the shifting of our character orientation. It is the changing of our minds, the recentering of our lives, the complete giving of our hearts to Christ and His service. Otherwise, we may repent of our sins, but not of our sinning. How do we know that the confession we have made in repentance has been accepted? That is an important question, because the less we get our sense of worth from the Savior, the more our sins will cause guilt and will continue to blame ourselves. But if we feel a hope in Christ, we will work sincerely with a broken heart and contrite spirit to move beyond our sins. The Spirit of peace will come, and we will know that our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. The Lord says He will remember them no more, and neither will we, in the sense that they will no longer torture us with self-hatred and low self-worth. What is really exciting about this is what it does to our own spirits when we feel this relationship and how it affects our relationship with others. After we have truly repented and been forgiven, we no longer feel the compulsion to judge others or to be offended. Judge not. The Savior said, Judge not, that ye be not judged. We are not only wrong to judge others, but we are also incompetent to do so, because we are often totally without understanding of the many, many factors that help to formulate the point of view that directly affects a person's behavior. The Savior said, Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Close quote. Great truths are given to us here. First, there is a strong, almost universal tendency to find the fault in another. That is the mote that is in our brother's eye. Second, when we focus on this mote, the other person's fault, we don't focus on the beam or fault in our own life. Third, In this spirit, we often try to correct another. It doesn't work. We may have a correct opinion, but our spirit is wrong. Then we hurt, reject, offend, and threaten. Spirit or attitude communicates far more powerfully than opinions or guilted words. Fourth, because of the beam in our own eye, we are unable to see clearly. Our judgment or opinion may be entirely wrong. We may be merely projecting our own weaknesses and calling them the other person's problems. We may mistake introspection for observation. Perhaps this is what Paul meant when he said, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." How widespread is this mote beam sickness? To some degree, it affects all of us. We might be terribly concerned about the various injustices in the nation or in an institution. But how just are we in rearing our own children? Is our discipline consistent, based on well-established and well-communicated rules? Or is it based on the mood of the moment? Are we upset with the hypocrisy of others? Do we live what we profess? It is clear why we are unsuited to pass judgment on each other. Fortunately, the Lord relieves us of this burden. Joseph Smith gave us a better understanding of how the Lord judges. He taught, "While one portion of the human race is judging and condemning the other without mercy, the great parent of the universe looks upon the whole of the human family with a fatherly care and paternal regard. He views them as his offspring, and without any of those contracted feelings that influence the children of men, causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. He holds the reins of judgment in his hands. He is the wise lawgiver, and he will judge all men, not according to the narrow, contracted notions of men, but according to the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or evil." Close quote.